Morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order the June 26, 2019 variance hearing. Thanks for coming today. It's a very beautiful morning. I know we'd probably all rather be outside than here, but here we are. My name's Corey Teague. I'm the zoning administrator, and I'm joined by my executive secretary, Eva Atahera-Taylor. Just going to go over some general information about the order of presentation for the hearing today. First, sponsors or project property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is then allowed 3 minutes of rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. And at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if anyone would like to speak on these items, please step up when the item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. There are currently 3 items listed on the consent calendar today. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant the variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish all of the following 5 findings. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding 5, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final as of today. It is not final until a decision letter is issued. And due to kind of regular backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter. And again, there's no decision is final today. It's not final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside of the hearing room. And the next variance hearing is scheduled for July 24th, 2019. And audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011, if you would like to go back and listen to any prior hearings. So with that, we'll move on to today's calendar, and we will move straight into the consent calendar.
We have 3 items in our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2019-00663 VAR, 9 Fallon's Place, rear yard variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2017-013347 VAR, 1702 Church Street, open space variance sought. And lastly, item number 3, case number 2019-001867 VAR, number 8, Phoenix Terrace, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of the items called out on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing no public comment, then those items on the consent calendar will be granted with the standard conditions, and we'll now move into our very short regular calendar.
Moving to our regular calendar, case item number 4, case number 2018-004363 VAR, 217 Virginia Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm here to, my name is Kim Nguyen. I'm the owner of this property. So I'm here to ask your approval to, for this variance because it provide additional housing space, a very small housing space, and it's conforming with the six-unit apartment building. It doesn't create any hardship or anything for the neighbors. So I really ask that you approve it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Would you mind just going over the history a little bit of this proposal, because I know this is already there, it was already developed. Can you, do you know when it was built out in the current
yes.
layout?
Yes. The additional space, like about around 100 square feet, was built out like around 3 years ago when I first bought the building. So I did the remodeling inside the unit, including that little addition, and everything was approved by the Department of Building Inspection. But then a year later or 2 years later, someone said that that space is not legal. So I went through the legalization process. It was approved. So at the time of the sign-off, DBI inspector said there's a little discrepancy on the backyard square feet, short like about 3 feet or 4 feet, something like that, I recall. And my fault was that I didn't, I overlooked the drawing, so it was missing a few feet. And that's why we are here for the variance approval.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. Just briefly, this is an interesting lot because it is a, it's a corner lot. It's essentially a double lot. Has a structure that is category B, so it's not a, a recognized historic resource, but it is, it was constructed 1900 or earlier. There's a lot of developable space on the property towards the corner that's not being taken advantage of today. There's the garage structure at the rear, and then this proposal, and I feel like given that in totality, the amount of development proposed for the site is very similar and less than what could have otherwise be permitted within the buildable envelope, combined with the fact that it's six units, potentially more if the garage is converted to ADUs, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances here that would justify a minor encroachment into the rear yard, especially considering its location on the block and the way it's done not having any real impacts on the neighbors. So with that, I would generally be inclined to support it. There is still a neighborhood notice, and so obviously I will hold off on any decision until that neighborhood notice is completed in case there is any discretionary review filed and it has to go to the Planning Commission. But so I will take it under advisement, but I am generally supportive of the variance. That's your declaration of posting? Yes, please submit that now. Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2017-007673VAR, 731 Rhode Island Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. I'm Kepa Askenazi, project sponsor. My clients and the homeowners are here with us today, Bonnie Barron and Peter Delacorte. What we have here is a cottage that's been built at the back of the property, and I have some photos here. This is what you see from the street, the garage. You enter on the right. You walk down a set of stairs, one flight, to the cottage here. And you enter, you take a left at the bottom of the stairs, you enter around to this other side over here. And at this level, you have kitchen, living room, dining area, and a half bath. Upstairs, you have a master suite with a full bath. Downstairs, you have some bedrooms and a bathroom. What our intention is, and what we'd like to do today, is talk about this area right here. This is where we'd like to take this utility room, bring it forward, and then build out this area here, bring this window centered and bring it forward, and put in a full bathroom down there. If you look here, this is the exceptional situation here. This is a Google Earth with the street here, the walkway, the garages.
And excuse me, ma'am, can you speak to the mic because we're being recorded?
Sure, I'm sorry. The street is here, the garages are here, you walk down the stairs here, there's a little courtyard at the further level down, and then this is the area that we're talking about. It's surrounded by homes. So that's the extraordinary part of it, is that it's a cottage at the back. And what we need to ask for the variance is approximately 2 feet that are actually what would attach this new bathroom to the house itself. If you look at my sheet, A2.1, actually if you go back a page, A2, you see that little 2-foot encroachment there? That's the area that is technically in our rear yard, which is what we need to have construction on in order to add our bathroom to the main, to the cottage itself. I have a note here. We met with the next door neighbor who's at this property last week, and he signed a note saying that he approved our construction. And as far as I know, we have no one that spoke against it. And I'm going to let Peter and Bonnie speak to the reasons why they want to do this. Specifically, it has to do with aging in place. This has been their family home for many decades, and they'd like to continue to stay in the home. Should I give you my declaration of posting now?
I'll take it, ma'am.
And I'm going to also give you a copy from the neighbor.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll leave my things up here.
I'll give you 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, good morning. I'm Bonnie Barron, one of the owners. And the reason we would like to expand the half bath to a full bath is that if it were needed, we could live on one level in this home. We live on a very steep hill. As it is, we have to go up and down stairs, three sets of stairs actually, to get in the building and then get into the different areas of the building. We are now senior citizens and anticipate that we might need to have one floor where we could live without having to use all of the stairs. So essentially it's an idea to be able to age in place in the property where we've been now since 1993, I believe. And it's a rather modest addition, and as Kappa mentioned, our next door neighbor, who would be really the only person who would see the addition, it can't be seen from the street, and the neighbors to our north can't see it. So Zach, our neighbor on the south, said that he was just fine with it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Can I ask you a quick question? So can you talk a little bit more about the aging in place situation? Because, I mean, as it is now, the first floor has a full bath and a bedroom and a library, and the top floor has a master bedroom, full bath, but the second floor doesn't have any bedrooms. So is the idea that if needed, eventually, you know, the living room could be converted to a bedroom, and that, you know, there's some swapping of layout?
Right. Yes, the first floor that you're speaking of is actually below street level, so you have to go down 13 stairs to get there. And then the highest story requires at least another 13 stairs to ascend, and it has a bath and a bedroom. On the main level, which is still slightly below street level, there's flexibility in the floor plan. The kitchen is open. It's a little galley kitchen. The living room is spacious enough that we could have a dining area in part of that, along with the living room area, and then the small area now, which functions as a dining area, could be made into a bedroom area. Or a bed could go into the living room area, and there are ways to use the space. And in fact, when I have in the past sprained my ankle badly, and when Peter had a knee replacement, we did in fact sleep on that level before. Of course, we had people who could help us do what we needed to do, despite those physical limitations. But.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. So I appreciate the information about the rationale for the need for for a full bath on a floor that doesn't have any bedrooms when there's a full bath on the other floors that do have a bedroom. This property has received some variances in the past, so we always want to be cautious about the granting of any additional variances. You mentioned this is fairly minor and would have the most effect on the adjacent neighbor. It appears that they have provided some documentation that they are in support. There's not been a building permit filed yet for this work, so there hasn't been any neighborhood notification or anything like that. I'm not sure what the planned timing is for that. Ideally, we'd like to be able to have the neighborhood notification complete before making a final decision, just in case there is a discretionary review filed. That's not a requirement. If you would prefer to have the variance decision prior to going through the permit process. So I'm generally supportive of the variance because of the minor nature of it and the real issues with the site in terms of the topography and the unique nature of its development, and obviously the continuing issue, for aging in place, which is not unique to this site, but are issues we're seeing with lots of proposals. So I'm going to take it under advisement to coordinate with you all a little bit more about the timing for the permit, but generally supportive of the variance.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2018-009883-VAR, 573 Diamond Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
You are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Is that working? Okay. Good morning, Mr. Teague. I guess a little bigger. Thanks. My name is Sven Levine, and I'm the architect for this project, and we're seeking a rear yard variance. On paper, it's a 16-foot rear yard variance, which sounds a little bit daunting, but it's just to kind of show you what we're looking at, it's basically these areas that are sort of highlighted in pink that we're seeking variance for. So there's really already a 12-foot permitted obstruction, rear yard obstruction, and we're seeking a variance just to sort of fill in this corner here. And then for this part back here is actually subterranean. And I can kind of show you. So this section cuts through the site. And so the furthest part of the rear yard extension is this part here, which is really underground. It's pretty much flush with grade. And then as we get over towards the kind of the north property, we get into this little infill corner here, which we're seeking a variance for. And then this is, so this is sort of as the variance portion is kind of what you see in this little orange piece right here is the piece that we're seeking variance for. And this is as it would be experienced from the neighbor to the north. And just to sort of get into the logistics of a little bit, there's sort of two types of rear yard permittable extensions, which I'm sure Mr. Teague is aware of. But we basically have the two-story one and the one-story one, which can go full width. And sort of our hardship here is if you look at the existing site, this is sort of our rear yard as we experience it and as the neighbors experience it. But then we have this drop-off here, which makes this situation behave. Basically, the one-story pop-out won't apply. It becomes a two-story pop-out. So we feel like this actually acts more like the one-story pop-out as it's experienced by the north neighbor. And there's a section showing the sort of the subterranean part that we're seeking, which is down here. And then another section showing the side section. And sort of our main reason for requesting this variance is that if we didn't fill in this little corner, it's mostly at grade level. It ends up being sort of a funny dead space that's mostly hidden behind a fence. We also have an elevation of sort of how that addition is experienced by the neighbors to the north. And really, kind of the only thing that they sort of see is this little triangle here. And I've also got, we put up some sort of a storyboard. And this is where the roof of our proposed portion that we're seeking variance would exist. So it's really, if we eliminate that 42-inch firewall, which is something we're willing to do, this is what we'll be experiencing, is this sort of triangle here. And we have worked with the neighbors, Tim and Chuck, to the north. And I think we're willing to make, and I know that there's a lot of concern about other portions of the project, which we're not looking at now, so the overall mass of the building. And I think we've expressed an interest to work on those other elements and cooperate if this variance would be amenable to Tim and Chuck. We don't want to try and force anything on them. We're more than willing to come up with some kind of a cooperative package that could accommodate other reductions in later parts of the project if this piece is amenable to them. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. All right. Is there any public comment on this item? Please come in any order you like for public comment. I thought you were completed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you want to finish your time with the property owners, that's fine before public comment. Okay, I'm sorry.
No worries. Yes. Thank you very much for your time. My name is Anu and I'm the property owner. Mm-hmm. My husband Abhijit and I live in the property. We've been there about 11 years. We have two young children. And what we're really trying to do with this project is maximize the potential of our home for our two children and potentially our grandparents. The children's grandparents will be here for longer periods of time. We're not trying to push the boundaries here. We want to live within the guidelines established by this commission. And all we're trying to do is make it a comfortable home for our family as we grow. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Now, if there's any public comment on this item, please come forward now.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Tim Pryor. I'm the resident at 569 Diamond Street, which in this photograph is the peach-colored house. This variance is part of a whole proposed project. We have negotiated with the architect about our concerns, which were basically that there would be huge decks overlooking our house. We thought we had come up with some compromises, but yesterday received an email from the architect stating that it would be part of a mutually agreed upon package deal and predicated on the objection to a variance request. So it kind of left us between a rock and a hard place whether to dispute this or not. One major concern is that once this variance is granted, essentially from that point on, every other property on the block is going to be able to expand beyond. Ironically, this may blow up in the face of the people requesting this variance, because when our house is sold in a couple of years, whoever buys it is going to keep the front 6 inches and go back as far as possible, so they will end up with the issue we're facing of decks, windows looking into their property. There are a few other concerns we had. We dealt with the architect. There's currently a fence that would have approximately 20 foot of building against it, which will be a rodent warren. Plus trying to mitigate, are looking at essentially a 12 foot high by 20 foot long wall. So that apparently is now up in the air. The other resident at this property is also going to speak for the downhill neighbor who is unable to be here.
Three minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Chuck Aldhouse. I am also, as Tim stated, the other resident at 569 Diamond, but I am here at the request of Kathy Dykes, who is the resident of 575, which is the house that I am pointing to here. It's the property on the south side. She is unable to be here as she is out of town. She filed an objection with the planning department, and they've acknowledged receipt of it. She has an email on Friday. Rather than try and go through that in any detail in the time available, I just wanted to touch on the primary points that she put in the first page of that document. Her primary reasons, first off, are that the variances aren't consistent with the height and depth scale of the surrounding buildings. And I think Tim talked about that pretty well earlier in his portion of the presentation. Her second point is that the variance is not compatible with our mid-block open space. In other words, this house is going to be significantly larger in size than the ones on either side in the rest of the block. Her third point is that the variances negatively impact her air and privacy. And I guess utilizing what we have here, the best way to demonstrate it is her property is right here. As you can see, she has a number of skylights in the roof of her home, some of which are into bedrooms. And utilizing the drawings that Tim had earlier that show the increase in size of this particular property, she's going to be facing some unique challenges in terms of privacy and ability to look into the skylights on the roof of that space. The fourth point that she wanted to emphasize is that she felt the structures that are going to be created are going to impact her property value adversely. And last of all, just as more a general comment, that these variances are going to change the overall character of the neighborhood. We're very much characterized by relatively small houses, gardens, and small space, and it's one of the reasons that she purchased the house. As a result of this, a wall that she's now facing currently right here, as this comes out and up, is going to create a very, very much larger wall space. So those are the items that she wanted me to emphasize, and the overall detail around her rationales in the presentation that was presented.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item?
You also get 3 minutes, sir.
Mr. Teague? My name is David Levy. I've been living at 587 Diamond Street since 1985 with my wife, Marilyn. Our two daughters, now 29 and 31, grew up in the house but are now living elsewhere. Our house is three lots south of Diamond on the same side of the street, and I'm speaking to oppose the application for the rear yard variance. I oppose the application for two reasons. First, a rear yard variance would set a dangerous precedent for future projects on the block. And second, the regulatory requirements showing extraordinary circumstances, unnecessary hardship, and necessity are not present here. Before I address these points, let me describe the block. The row of nine houses on the east side of Diamond Street was built in the first decade of the 20th century. The houses are of uniform size, scale, and appearance. The open space in back of each property provides sun, shelter from the Twin Peaks wind and fog, and urban green space. The rear yard space permits outdoor activities such as sports, barbecuing, gardening, and other leisure activities. Granting a rear yard variance here will create a bad precedent on the 500 block of Diamond Street. Of the nine houses on Diamond Street in the row, it is likely that several of them will change hands over the next few years as owners age or move out of the city. In keeping with modern tastes, a change in ownership is likely to trigger a construction project. In the past, such projects have honored the city code for rear yard open space and maintained the intentions of the master plan. Our concern is that if a rear yard variance is approved for 573, each new owner might seek a similar or larger variance for their property. If the house to the south of us were to extend 16 feet, it would leave our deck and portions of our garden in shade, diminishing our privacy and providing sight lines into our property or unsightly walls near the property line. In short, the rear open space provides light, privacy, and green space, and it's a benefit to all neighbors on Diamond Street and should not be compromised. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning. My name is Leslie Hack. I'm the owner of 579 Diamond Street. Our objection to the variance is mainly having to do with the amount of excavation which is proposed. My wife is homebound. We have a stair lift and the interior stairway. We have a ground floor garage, the second floor with the living facilities, the third floor with sleeping facilities. And she's confined to the house, and it would be onerous for her to be there during the period of excavation, which may, according to the information we've been told, extend for a period of several months. And we'd like to avoid that if it's possible to do so. That is the main problem that we have personally with the project. Otherwise, the excavation project would cause a change in the pattern of traffic up and down that block of Diamond Street. There would be the necessity of almost a continuous presence of a dirt receiving box for the excavated material, and this would be it would take several of the parking spaces that people count on the block out of service for their purposes. This is all I have, except to support the comments of the people that spoke before me. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Ratzalivi. I live at 587 Diamond Street, and as my husband David mentioned, we've been there since 1985. I agree that one of the biggest problems I see for this project is once it gets in there, it is a slippery slope to more variances. And once you grant 16 feet, well, why not grant 20 feet and then the entire backyard all the way down from the second house on near Alvarado all the way down to 23rd. is massive, and people may feel as if they have to fill in their backyard just to protect themselves from protect their privacy. And speaking of slippery slopes, I am very concerned about the slope. We are on a hill. If someone excavates a large portion of their backyard, I'm afraid of pressure and debris and dirt and pressure on our retaining walls, because each house, including ours, has a retaining wall on each side to prevent just that thing. So I think it's a mistake to grant the variance, and other than that, I agree with the people who've spoken before. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Evelyn Call, and I live at 565 Diamond, which is two houses up from the property. And I did forward a letter to you last night, not being certain whether we could attend today, but I won't take you additional time to repeat those arguments or to repeat the arguments that have been made already by the rest of the neighbors. I will only ask that in considering the variance, you look at it in the context of the overall project. I realize that part of the project is within code, but even within the code, the project is very, very large. It's outsized on the property block, and it's going to change the inner yards of all of the houses in that matching row. And part of the problem that arises is that if you look at the properties, the two properties above it, they're shorter lots than the rest of the properties below, which are longer lots. So even allowing those longer properties to build out within the code basically blocks any line of sight or air to the properties with the shorter lots. And I happen to be one of the properties with the shorter lots. There are no circumstances that I have heard that are extraordinary. And I think the fact that this project creates an intrusion of privacy with the many decks that are being built and the expansion over the lot, we oppose the project.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Teague. My name is Michael Alcantar. I'm also a resident at 565 Diamond. I agree with the comments that have been made about opposing this particular development. And in context, what I want to make sure is understood, even where the code may contemplate a permissible build, there is an overarching policy here about being consistent with a plan, being consistent with the neighborhood, dealing with use. There is no basis upon which you would want to park an ocean liner of a building on this precious block, a treasured historical block that has certain qualifications to it. And as Ms. Call just pointed out, there is an anomaly here with respect to the size of lots. And if we look at the code and start thinking about percentages and where variances are needed, and we're only talking about a few feet, that's really a misnomer when you compare the contrasting situation with immediately adjacent properties. So I join with those who have opposed this variance. We will also oppose the building permit. This is not an appropriate use of this property or needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, the project sponsor has 3 minutes for rebuttal if they'd like.
Okay, so I'm hearing everybody's responses on just sort of the overall size of the building, and so I'd just like to reiterate that the variance piece that we're focusing on right now is really minor and mostly only perceptible to the neighbor to the north. So really very small impact, but maybe easy to kind of overblow that. As far as the larger project, I think we're we're still very willing to talk to the neighbors and come up with something that's amenable to everyone. I think we would rather honestly make reductions to other parts, more visible parts that are within code, if we could have this variance and build out the lower section. So it almost could be a lower impact piece with some reductions elsewhere. And we'd be more than willing to do that if it was something that sort of worked for everybody. So you know, the doors are still open for cooperation if neighbors feel like this variance is something that, you know, if they agree that it's a lower impact piece, that's something we'd be willing to discuss. There might be possibility to even lower the roof height of the variance section to get it closer to fence height. So I think there's some other, we'd like to keep the dialogue open on it if possible to come up with an agreeable solution.
Sure. Can I ask you a quick question? I don't believe a building permit has been filed for this proposal yet, correct? This is just, at this point, is it just the variance application?
The variance application is in, and we haven't gone out to our 311 yet.
Yeah.
So,
even beyond just not going out to 311 yet, has the permit been filed? I don't think the permit's been filed at all.
No, we don't have a building permit yet either. So there's going to be a whole other opportunity to look at other parts. But we would much rather do it in a cooperative way with the neighbors if possible. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there, everyone.
Thank you. All right. With that, I will close the public hearing on this item. So I live in the city. I have a kid. When I was a kid, I lived in a multi-generational household. So I get the need and the desire. I think just looking at the variance, taking a moment to just look at the variance and not look at the property in the proposal overall, I think there are issues for concern. Because aside from the needs of the owner, which every owner has their needs, there's already a generous amount of developable space here on the site. The property is standard size, slightly larger. Under the code, it would allow you to go from kind of an existing approximately 3,000 square feet to in the ballpark of 4,000 square feet for a single family home in an RH2 district. You could take advantage of the additional obstruction that is permitted in the planning code for this. Obviously, what's being proposed is to go beyond that. And again, I completely understand the desire of that, but in terms of finding the exceptional and extraordinary circumstance that would make that kind of necessary to overcome any specific hardship or practical difficulty, I'm not sure I'm there on that yet. I think the other challenge here is that while we are just looking at the variance today, we can't remove the overall context of the total proposal. And I think it's going to be a challenge to really address one issue without addressing the overall issue. So in that regard, our preference generally is to have a permit filed and the neighborhood notification done so that if there are issues on the overall project, that can all be addressed at one hearing, a joint hearing between the Planning Commission and the Zoning Administrator. Obviously, we don't require that. There's a cost, and obviously that impacts whether someone wants to move forward with such a permit, and so I understand that. We can't force that. In this situation, that's definitely my preference, is to have this heard kind of in totality, especially considering the interrelated issues. Without having that kind of more comprehensive review by also the Planning Commission on the project as a whole, if I was just to be looking at the variance by itself, again, I have pretty significant concerns that I don't know if they could be overcome or not, but I do think that is a challenge here. So with that, I do plan to take this under advisement. I'm happy to coordinate with the project sponsor to understand if they would like to move forward with a building permit application and towards what seems to be a pretty sure thing in terms of at least one discretionary review being filed, or if you would rather move forward with the decision being made just on the variance itself. So again, I definitely have some concerns with the proposal, but for now I will take it under advisement.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2017-011142 VAR, 620 Presida Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Douglas Fong. I'm architect for the project. The owners of the property, the Barkers family, are here as well. This project is to modify a existing residential unit in the rear yard of a rather deep and large lot in Bernal Heights. The front of the property. The front of the property is occupied by a two-unit residential building with a residential unit on the bottom and on the top. Both of those units are small two-bedroom, one-bath units. This is the rear of the main building in the front. And this is the cottage itself. The cottage itself has been continually occupied as a residential unit since 1907 when it was constructed. The proposal is to repair the cottage and slightly enlarge it so it can accommodate a three-bedroom unit as opposed to the current one-bedroom unit over garage. This is the second floor of the rear yard cottage. Rear yard cottage is accessed, the second floor where the residence is accessed by a exterior stair located on the front right of the property, which will be removed, actually decreasing the footprint of the cottage. And this is a plan of the second floor or the bedroom floor of the proposed renovation. And it shows the removal of the stair and the relocation of the stair to the internal portion of the building. And what that does is essentially to create a restriction in the existing floor plate that requires us to propose a bay extension to allow three bedrooms on the floor instead of what was there previously. The owner has conducted extensive neighborhood outreach on this project. It's received written support from the Bernal Heights East Slope Design Review Committee. And I understand that Terry Millen is here today. Also here today are tenants from the upper story of the front unit. And we have also received recently written support for our project by email from the owners of the building on the back side of the rear yard cottage. The Barkers also signed or went through the neighborhood and had over 25 people sign a petition of support for their project. And we're hopeful that this can be granted. So Sarah Bark is here today to describe in more detail the need for a three-bedroom unit as opposed to a smaller unit or need to enlarge the unit. And I'd like to bring her up now. Thank you.
You have 2 minutes left on your time.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Sarah Barca. My family live in the lower unit of the front building at 624 Persida. My parents have owned this parcel since 1983. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My husband and I moved to 624 Persida in April 2007. I'm a third and fourth generation San Franciscan, and he's originally from Birmingham, England. I hadn't spent much time in Bernal, but I had two relatives that lived on the hill, so I was sort of familiar with it. We quickly got to know our neighbors and neighborhood in our morning pilgrimage to the coffee shop at the other end of Persida Park, four blocks away. In 2008, we got married at the Church of the Immaculate Conception on Folsom Street. And in 2009, we had our daughter. Sorry. We met and became friends with a whole new layer of neighbors at the playground. We now have two children that are here, thankfully quiet, who are entering kindergarten and fourth grade. They attend a K-8 school in San Francisco with their cousins and other friends that we carpool with. My husband is a local plumber, and parking his van and tools safely off street has meant that we don't have tools in our home each night, and they're safe. I now work part-time as a bookkeeper, walking distance from home next to Garfield Park. My daughter practices with her soccer team there, and she has games also nearby. We love the warmth. Is that time?
No, you have 27 seconds.
Okay. So our children are different sexes. We need two bedrooms. We have a good relationship with our neighbors upstairs who are also here. right now we share, there's four of us sharing a teeny tiny bed bathroom. If in the back house, we would gain an extra bathroom and a bathtub. Is that it?
You can have a
finish
few more
off.
Seconds.
Okay, that sort of went off script. Anyhow, we live and work in San Francisco. We want to stay. We met a year ago. We collected the neighbors' signatures. And although, like, I got signatures from the neighbors that we know on our block really quickly and easily because we know them and they support us anyways, it was nice to meet the neighbors behind us. We can't even see them. They're behind the cottage. We have a huge yard that our kids play off street with the neighbors' kids. It's very private because everyone else on one side is behind a retaining wall up above it. And everyone else behind us is uphill because it's a steep backyard. We really need the three-bedroom house, and I'm glad that our neighbors support it, as it's a reasonable proposal that allows us to stay in the property. We strongly hope that it will, because we want to stay in our community. Thank you to you and the city for considering our project. It's been a long time under review, and we hope that we can start construction. Sorry for being emotional.
Okay, thank you.
I don't like speaking.
If I could ask a quick question of the architect quickly, can you just provide a little bit more detail about functionally how the proposed variance is needed for the three bedrooms?
Yeah. The layout of the proposed project would replace the existing garage that exists on the first level with the living room, dining room, and kitchen living spaces. The second floor would contain the bedrooms. And right now, as I'm trying to show on the plan here, we've designed a very concise and efficient plan with very little hallway or circulation space. The rooms themselves are not extraordinarily large, but we have looked at we've looked at schemes at trying to contain the three-bedroom program within the envelope of the existing house, and we haven't been able to find anything that's acceptable.
Can you just elaborate a little bit about why that's unsuccessful?
I think really it has to do with internalizing the stair that gives access to the second floor to the inside of the space right now. Reduces the footprint such that just kind of bakes basically getting access to three bedrooms, and having three bedrooms of usable size is not practical.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item?
Hi, good morning. My name is Juanita Ward. I've been in that building for over 31 and a half years, and I've known Sarah and the family for 10 and a half years, and they're good neighbors. I'd love to see them move, if it could be possible, for that unit in the back. And we've known her before she had her children, and I just want to see something built there. It's been empty for 8.5 years. So hopefully it could be built, and everybody's happy. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
You get 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. My name is Susan Ward. I live with my mother, 622 Presida. We have great neighbors, Sarah and Sean, and the kids are great. I'd like to see them live in this house that's going to be built, hopefully. I feel that the house next behind it, as we're speaking, is full of mold, and it's dangerous. The stairs are, like, cracked almost in some of it, and it's falling apart, and it's been vacant for so long that it needs to be rebuilt, something. And I hope that it can be, and we can start reconstruction for the family so we can keep them in the community and keep everyone happy and safe. Thank you.
Thank you. there any other public comment on the item?
Good morning. My name's Terry Milne. This project, as was mentioned earlier, was reviewed by the Design Review Board in the neighborhood, and overall, it seemed like it was rehabilitating an existing building, and the outcome was pretty benign. It didn't affect very many neighbors. The neighborhood would end up being better for it. So we looked at it and said, oh, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing that, we'll close public comment. Thank you for all the speaking and information. It's very helpful. This is an unusual situation. I think there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances here, both with the property itself and its context within the block. There's obviously kind of severe topography surrounding this property. There's an already adjacent rear structure that's larger than the existing building and what's being proposed. And the existing building, as it's currently being used for parking and a very, very small and not particularly quality unit, it does seem like this is a pretty reasonable rehabilitation of the building in a way that would provide family-sized housing without really creating any negative impacts on the surrounding properties. I'd also note that unlike a lot of other situations where we see proposed expansions to rear yard cottages, there's actually still proposed to remain a substantially large rear yard space in between the two buildings, which is positive for issues related to impacts on mid-block open space, but also to privacy issues between the two buildings. So I generally agree with all the comments that have been given here today that this is a very reasonable proposal, and I would be inclined to grant the variance with the standard conditions.
Moving to our last item number 8, case number 2018-016896 VAR. 776 Carolina Street, rear yard variance sauce. You're the project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Hutch Moradian. I am here to represent McCracken Architects, the architect of the project. The project owner is also here. If you need to ask him any questions later on, we are asking for a rear yard variance. The existing conditions are such that the subject property, 776 Carolina, has an open deck in the rear. The property to the north has a large extension, which unfortunately could not be used for averaging because it is 11 inches narrower than half of the lot. The property to the south extends 9 feet beyond the rear wall of the subject property and a further 8-foot two-story deck. The proposal is to add a glass enclosed greenhouse at the second level of the rear yard deck. Not extending any further, and a spiral staircase. The owners are avid gardeners, and they would like to use this greenhouse off of their master bedroom for gardening. They're getting up in age, and it is hard for them to go all the way down to the rear yard all the time. Hence, the stair off of the rear deck rather than going all the way through the house. The easiest way to understand what's being asked and the extent of the variance is to look at the existing condition. This is the deck in question. And the proposed glass enclosure. The areas requiring variance are marked in red, and they are in plan 8 inches by 2.5 inches, and about a foot and a half by 4 feet. If we look at this in plan, let me show you in plan what the so here's the plan. Because of the rear yard,
sir, if you can please speak into the mic while you're.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Because of the rear yard obstruction, allowable only a small corner of the proposed volume requires a variance, plus a very small portion of the of the stair. Going back to the various findings, the literal enforcement of the code restricts the rear of the property to only one story because of the complex topography. Both immediate neighbors enjoy substantially large enclosed additions beyond the rear yard setback, where 776 Carolina has a small open two-story deck. And the only reason why these extensions could not be used for averaging is because the neighbors to the north extension is 11 inches narrower than half the lot. Granting the variance allows the owner to enjoy rights currently enjoyed by neighbors, will strengthen the existing building due to structural revisions, and will be constructed from similar or complementing materials, which only increase public welfare and will not materially be injurious to the structure. Granting this variance will allow the owners to continue to use their home where they have lived since 1993 in the way code intends, and does not adversely affect master plan since the addition to enclose an already existing exterior second floor deck. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. Yeah, this is unusual lot context in the sense of pretty severe topography at the front. There's definitely a certain amount of developable space at the front that's kind of being left on the table for like what's being proposed, given the rear context of the adjacent buildings and the context of this block in general is a very minor proposal that is, I think, consistent with the required 5 findings, and I would generally be supportive and intend to grant the variance with the standard conditions. Thank you.
That's the last item.
Now, is there any general public comment for any items that were not on the agenda today? Now is your chance. Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn.